Transformation is inevitable, but it doesn't have to take forever. What if you could see the obstacles before they happen, sidestep the common mistakes, and drive change faster than ever? That's exactly what we're here to do. Welcome to Transformation Unfiltered, the podcast where HR professionals share their stories about how they've hit fast forward on their transformation efforts and built legacies as world-class people leaders and change makers. And now, here's the show.
I think all of us want to do meaningful work and be able to feel good about what we're doing. And when we close our laptop at the end of the day, feel like I had a good day and I made a difference. So I think part of, I guess this ties to advocating for yourself, is just understanding what that really looks and feels like for you. I know for me, a pivotal moment was 2021. I just had my year in review with my manager, who we worked really well together. And part of the end of year review was then also taking a look at your development plan and what would that look like. And there was a part of the development plan that says in 2 years, and it was just blank. And it was the first time I ever, and I use these words often when I talk about this, is the first time I ever gave myself permission to say, I want to be a CHRO. I aspire to be this role. And I had never allowed myself to do something like that.
She uprooted her whole life and moved 2 young kids across the country for a promised promotion. Months later, they gave that job to someone else. That gut punch would have broken most people's hearts and will. But instead, it was the turning point that broke out her voice. Join me as I welcome Amanda Smith. Amanda Smith is a seasoned HR executive with more than 20 years of experience leading people, culture, and communication strategies across healthcare, life sciences, and consumer industries. Currently the Chief Human Resources Officer at Vision Innovation Partners, she is known for connecting business goals with human experience and for leading with clarity, empathy, and impact. With roots in journalism and a background that spans startups to Fortune 500s, Amanda brings a unique blend of strategic insight and storytelling to every role. She holds an MBA from Virginia Commonwealth University and a BA in journalism from Penn State. Outside the office, Amanda loves being in the mountains or cliffside, overlooking a beach, hiking and cooking with her husband, cheering on her boys as they grow their careers. She is also a proud dog mom, an avid reader of mostly historical fiction, and also a good cross stitch. Amanda, I'm so glad to have you on the show today. And this conversation is all about real talk, minus the cursing at the bar. But let's dig in a little bit to one of those big mistakes that you might have made early in your career that you're feeling like, yeah, I have the appetite to share this because I'm in a different place now.
Sure. Yeah, if I could go back and tell my younger self to do this differently, I would tell myself to advocate for myself. I used to believe that my work was enough. Whatever I was producing would speak for itself. And that's true, that you do need to have the right work. But I felt that if I was trying to push for myself and advocate for myself, that would come off as bragging or ego or I'm better than versus I'm ready for the next thing.
That is a great learning. And I'm really curious to push a little bit into what were those pivotal moments that maybe before you even had that realization gave you little clues along the way? Or maybe there was one big clue.
12, 13 years ago or so now, it's been a while, I had the opportunity to move cross country and take on a new role. And that meant leaving behind everybody and everything that I knew, me and my 2 boys who were 8 and 13 at the time. And really starting completely over from a personal perspective and professionally too, although it was a known company, it was all new people, a different role. And the part of that journey was to move into that position and ultimately promote up into a role that was leading HR for that organization. So there was a huge component for me that was this really awesome career development into a role that I hadn't actually pictured for myself or maybe even allowed myself to picture for me at that point in my career. So I was there about 6 or 7 months and a decision was made to hire that role externally. So the person that was in the role was leaving and they decided to hire that role externally, which was the role that I had moved to California to take. And I was worried. I really was worried that if I spoke up about some of the things that were happening with this new manager, it would look like I was complaining because I didn't get the job, that I was bitter, or any of those types of emotions, right? The things that we see in the workplace that might be more negative. That's how I kept telling, like, that was a story I had told myself, and that had become etched in stone in my brain of, I just have to deal with this because I won't look great otherwise. And so I kept it pretty quiet. I kept it to myself, other than my close friends. That became a nice outlet for me to at least have a place to share what I was going through, and ultimately led me to the decision to just find a new workplace, which in the end worked out. But there's always a part of me that says, what if I had figured out the right way to advocate for myself, the right way to share some of the things that I was seeing and going through, and to the right people that would listen and be able to help in the end me advocate for myself.
Let me rewind you a little bit, because I got to see, make sure I got this straight. Packed up your house. You got your family in a moving truck. You left all your support system, people you knew, colleagues you knew. You went all the way across the country. You worked hard for 8 months with the promise that you'd get this job. And then they went outside for it. Is that right? Okay. You might have had some good filters, but what was happening for you? What were the thoughts that were actually happening in your head?
Disbelief. This was an organization I had been with for a while. Actually, it's the organization where I took my first HR position, right? So I went to school to be a journalist. I was in corporate communications, and right, it was an organization that helped me grow my career, had fully supported me, really, truly advocated for me. Multiple people across different elements of this organization. So there's absolutely an element of disbelief and shock. There's also an element of hurt, because I did leave everything behind. And it's an interesting lesson in advocating for ourselves. Another whole conversation really is around promises, and learning that if it's not documented, it's just a promise, and promises don't have to be fulfilled. So a little bit of a tough lesson to learn for myself too, to say, what should I have done differently? So there was, of course, a little bit of beating my own self up and saying, blaming myself for how did this happen. On the flip side, although I didn't know anybody when I moved there, like, one eye-opening thing for me was honestly registering my children at school, and you have to do the little emergency contact card. I didn't have a single person to put on that card that lived nearby. So I had to ask a member of the HR team, can you be my emergency contact in case the school needs to reach somebody? While that was, it's just a whole different world, and it pushed me personally in different ways. The move was one of the best things I've ever done for myself and for my boys, without question. The work piece did not work out at all like I thought, but the move itself was definitely the right choice.
Yeah. Sometimes things happen for a reason, and it sounds like you're seeing in hindsight, but in that moment, you felt like disbelief. You felt, ouch, that really stings. And wait a minute, we had a deal here, people.
Yes.
Yeah. So you said something about the, in the moment, you were really maybe filtering what was happening. How did that look? Like, if I was watching you a week after you got this news, what would I have noticed about you in the office?
Sure. I probably wasn't smiling as much. I probably had weight on my shoulders that I thought you couldn't see, but I know that you could see from experience teaches me this now at this point in my career. There was absolutely an element of me that's like, we're going to make this work. My other colleagues on the team, we worked really well together. So we're going to figure this out. We're going to band together. I still have a role. I have a role that it matters and means something to the organization. And again, it's an organization that I truly believed in for so many reasons, not just my own development, but just the values, the core of the business and what we were doing was very meaningful. So there was an element of me that was like, okay, we got this. I think there's also an element in me that said, you're going to figure it out, because I was a single mom at the time. And that's just what I did. I just figured things out because I had two kids at home that needed me to show up every day and do my very best, even when it was a hard thing to go do.
Yeah. You probably weren't smiling that much. You were also at the same time that you were walking around and putting on a good face, sure, as best you could, you had a lot at stake at home. You were the provider for
that. That was it. Yeah. So there was no world in which I could just walk away, because everything, their food, their shelter, their clothes, everything, all the basics and everything else were dependent on me.
Yeah. How does that, and that's a lot to carry. What's that like to have all that weight on your shoulders as a professional and a parent?
That's a tough one to answer because, and here's what's interesting is maybe even a year ago, I would have said, that's all I knew. And it's just who I am. And it's like what moms do. And I realized that's not, all those things aren't really true. It's what I did, is what I chose to do. I know for me that I knew there was two things that were paramount to me and that kept me going every day, which was the health and safety of my boys. And as long as what I was doing made sure that those two things were real and happening, I can do anything. I can survive whatever I needed to. They were what truly mattered. I think if the boys were here, they would say, oh, she's told us this. I believe I'm a better mom because I work. I think it's been a really healthy thing for me and the boys to have that time apart, even if it's just a few hours of every day. And for me to have a purpose that is for me, but also then the purpose of that's for them. So I think that's part of what kept me going. I also really, one, I was raised with really strong work ethic, and I think I absolutely wanted to teach them that. And to teach them that even in the hard moments, you still had to show up because they knew, right, what was going on because they could hear me talking to friends and family and whatnot, that you just have to, you have to show up and you have to figure out what to go do. I know in that moment, in that situation over those couple of months, while I wasn't advocating for myself at that company and in that role, my advocacy became applying for other positions and knowing that my choice was something not there. Maybe it could have been something there if I had known how to, or really trusted myself to advocate in a way that I could find somebody that could hear, truly hear what I was saying, not just listen to me. But I don't think I knew how to do that at that point in my career. So my advocacy became external.
So it sounds a lot like you're great at gutting it out, understanding why you need to, and convincing yourself to do that for all the right reasons. There are costs to that.
Yeah.
Can you talk to me a little bit about costs? What were the costs of just gutting it out for you?
Sure. Relative to that specific role and organization, and whether or not this is true, I felt like I was absolutely letting the rest of the team down. Three members of that team had joined since I had been there. So, of course, I felt I was abandoning them and the situation that was at hand. Part of me felt like I was leaving on such a bad note, again, with an organization that I had been with for quite a while that had helped me in growing my career. But I had also met a lot of people that I'm still friends with today through that organization, and some I'm still connected to from a professional perspective. I felt like there was some level of they think different of me because I couldn't manage, because I didn't speak up for myself. I think there was people that thought I left because I was bitter about what had the new manager instead of me getting the role, which wasn't the reason. And then I also think about, because I didn't advocate for myself, right, there was other people that joined the team that then came into an unhealthy work situation. And you know, maybe I could have helped them avoid that.
Yeah. So you're talking about advocating instead of gritting and bearing it. And there's lots of costs. There's cost to you and your heart, your reputation. There's cost to the people around you, and there were costs to, and look, it just has a ripple effect.
Sure.
I'm sure, because I have seen you already fast forwarding, which is what this show is all about. What were some of the lessons, like two lessons that you would say
sure.
were biggest lessons from that one experience?
Sure. I think one important lesson is don't let your circumstances control you. Don't fall victim. Don't play victim. And maybe that's part of why I didn't advocate for myself, because maybe I didn't want to be a victim. So I think there's an element of, I got this. I just got it in a different way. And I got to choose my path. And again, frankly, from a professional standpoint, I ended up in an incredible job that I'm super fortunate that I had. So I think one is, how much do you let what's going on around you control you versus you saying, okay, here's what I can control. And let me figure out how to go do that. And of course, there's things we can't control, and you got to learn how to let that go. Not always easy. And then the other piece goes back to advocacy, is to say, how do you truly advocate for yourself to stand up for and do what is the right thing to do? But you got to make sure you're doing it in the right way. And also then advocate for yourself from a career development perspective and a career growth perspective. And some of that is understanding what you want to go do and what is meaningful to you. I've always been very impressed Like when you go to interview a candidate and they're like, yeah, I've got this 5-year plan or this 10-year plan, or even some of my older son's high school friends are like, this is, I'm going to do these things. And however many years later, it's, oh no, he wanted to go to that college and go to this degree and do this thing. And like, he did all of those things. And I'm always impressed by those people because I'm not that person. But at the same time, I didn't also allow myself to say, but I do want to be this thing or this role or have this type of job at some point in my career. And to me, that's part of advocacy. So while there's a level of advocacy that is showing up and giving the right feedback and the right perspective relative to whatever's going on in the environment, or this role is open and let me talk to you about why I'm ready for it. What all, there's some level of advocacy I think you have to do for yourself internally, even to say, oh, wait, I could do that job. I am ready for that job because I'm ready in my way. And then I can grow as I continue to be in that position and allow yourself a little bit of that freedom in that room.
Are you enjoying the conversation? There are more game-changing insights still ahead. If you're passionate about driving transformation and want to stay ahead of the curve, join our Accelerated Transformation community. Send us a quick message on LinkedIn or via email and we'll send you an invite. Now, let's get back to the show.
I love this idea of, I think there's three lessons here, maybe. I think it's great. So one, you took ownership of yourself, your life, your career. You took ownership of your career in making some choices after that incident. It might not have looked like you were, but you were. The second and third are about advocacy. One, talking to that internal voice and being like, yeah, I'm good enough. I can do that. I want to do that. That's what I want to do. So I'm going to go for it. So that's the inside job. And the outside job is the third lesson, which is voicing that and feeling solid.
Yeah.
Which one of those, all of those, I think are really powerful. Is there one that you could expand on even more for us to talk about how you went from not advocating or not being in the driver's seat of your own career to where you are now?
Most of you guys don't know me. I have this interesting, very interesting career path where I have done corporate communications and then HR, and then I've gone back to HR, and then I did HR communication. So I've had this interesting, very non-linear, non-typical, I guess you would say, career path, which is great because I've had exposure to some pretty incredible projects and things that I'm super proud to have been part of. But the not great piece is I can get a little confused about what do I really want to do? What do I like better? HR, communications, et cetera. So I think part of it is really understanding what drives you, right, where you get your passion from, and where you really think that you can have the biggest impact organizationally. And because I think all of us want to do meaningful work and be able to feel good about what we're doing. And when we close our laptop at the end of the day, feel like I had a good day and I made a difference. So I think part of, I guess this ties to advocating for yourself is just understanding what that really looks and feels like for you. I know for me, a pivotal moment was 2021. I just had my year in review with my manager, who we worked really well together. And part of the end of year review was then also taking a look at your development plan and what would that look like. And there was a part of the development plan that says in 2 years, and it was just blank. And it was the first time I ever, and I use these words often when I talk about this, is the first time I ever gave myself permission to say, I want to be a CHRO. I aspire to be this role. And I had never allowed myself to do something like that.
Wait, why do you need permission to?
You don't.
Be growing as you are.
Yeah, you don't. But
why did you feel like you needed to give yourself permission? And I'm so glad you did. But why?
Yeah. I think it ties back to how do I advocate for myself and feeling I'm in these sort, I don't know, these rules or parameters I had put on my own self, because people do this all the time. But for me, it was like, how dare I think I was ready to be in such a role and not having I don't even know if it was the confidence in myself, but there was a little bit of internal dynamics in my head around, is that too boisterous? Is that too bold to say, no, one day I do want to be in this position.
Yeah. When I hear people talk about advocacy and self-advocacy, sometimes they end up stepping in little potholes along the way because, hey, your idea that am I being too boisterous? Maybe that was internal. Yep. But sometimes we can get taken as being too much, whatever that
Yeah.
So tell me about how that worked for you once you started practicing advocating for your own career.
I had joined an organization that was the same role. So same level, same team, makeup, same overall responsibilities, accountabilities as the position I was leaving, as the company I was leaving. And it was pretty obvious pretty quickly that it was not the right fit for me. So one thing I tell people is the grass always greener. I don't talk about that. And oddly enough, I have a green couch behind me. It's about finding your right shade of green, right? And that particular company was the right shade of green for a lot of people, but it wasn't my right shade of green. And I had somebody reach out about a different position. And in the past, I would have said, no, I've already taken this role. I'm committed to being here. That's just not good to leave a company so quickly. But I knew for me, not just for me, for my team, like this was not the right position. We worked well together, but I couldn't be my best self as a leader because I was not in a healthy environment. And I took the call and I put myself out there and I did change companies. And I was only there for 5 months. And I never would have imagined that to be true. You stick it out. You got to figure it out. We're going to make this work. Sometimes it doesn't work. And that you have to be okay with that. So in some ways, I advocated for myself by self-selecting out into a role that really I shouldn't have taken, but who knew at the time? Because of course, I wouldn't have said yes if I would have known some of the things I knew. But I was open to the conversation and I was open to leaving and leaving for the right reasons and making sure I did it in the right way. I wouldn't have done that probably even 3 years prior.
Yeah. So I love your little kind of reminder. You're going to find the right shade of green for you. You got to find the right shade of green. So what are the tips that you learned to help you to know what is the right shade of green for me where I can be my best self?
I'd say a few things. One, show up and be present where you get to be you and me. And I think that's also been an interesting learning in my role that I'm in today is I see myself as me, but other people see me as my title. And that's just such an interesting place to be. One, to one, find a place that really appreciates you for you, allows you to be your authentic self. There's a lot of research and conversation and whatnot around your authentic self. I think that's incredibly important because when we are showing up somewhere in a way that's not who we are, we can't be our best selves and we can't work to our top potential and have great impact to those around us because we're boxed in some way. So I think one is that. I think another one is really understand what truly drives you, what's absolutely motivating. So for me, I've spent a large part of my career in healthcare. This wasn't something I was motivated to do coming out of high school or college. I just found myself into a role that was in healthcare. And it made me realize for me, I'm never going to be a chemist making pharmaceuticals, or I'm never going to be a provider taking care of patients real time, or a nurse or what have you. But I can help take care of patients and have an impact in the world by taking care of people that do. And so I have continued to, as I've thought about my career and grown my career, it's always been an element of healthcare. And it's been a variety of elements, which is fun because in HR, if you're open to learning and being curious, that's a fun thing about HR is you can work in a lot of different industries if you're willing to learn the industry. So finding your passion. So for me, it's something relative to healthcare and helping make the world healthier, better for people in the way that I know how to show up to work. And then the third thing I would say is going back to advocacy is one, not just advocating for myself, but helping people advocate for themselves. And one of the conversations that I have quite frequently from a career coaching standpoint, even with, honestly, with even family and friends, is the one person who's looking out for our career the most is ourselves. So while we might have a great manager or a great set of peers or even people that we work cross-functionally with that help you and champion you and support you, ultimately, the real person that's going to make the biggest difference in our careers is ourselves. And then learning how to navigate that. So what are those right projects to go be part of? Or what's the right next role for you? Maybe, who's your mentor? Even if it's not a formal mentor-mentee relationship, but finding those ways to learn what's out there and know then what you should go advocate for yourself.
I think that's super important. You're the only one that's really going to know enough about you to know what's going to be the best situation. And then if you hold that in and gut it out, you're not doing yourself any favors and nobody else is going to step in. So as you think about how this catapulted you to today, let's just fast forward in a minute. What would you say about how this whole lesson set put you where you are in this moment?
I tell people that this, the role that I'm in today, was one of my easiest career yeses. And so I started my, so I got connected to the role I'm in today, originally coming in as a consultant to do some work relative to culture transformation. And the person who was leading HR at the time had decided to transition into a different role at a different company. And so they said, would you be willing to be interim while we search? I could have easily said no. I could have said, no, I want to just do this culture thing. And I mean, this is what I want to do. And maybe then who knows? I could have said no. And I said, yeah, sure. I'm open. I have the time. Happy to do that and run this other really big project. And so I found myself in the role, right place, right time. Now I have right skill set. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to sell myself short, but they wouldn't have asked me to do it if I didn't have the skill set to be able to do it. But it wasn't what I originally set out to do. We had interviewed for this very particular position. So I was able to be the interim head of HR for about almost 4 months. And it was great. It was working great. The team was wonderful. We were making a difference. I really enjoy the people. I do truly enjoy the people I work with. And they said, this is working. We like you. You like us. Would you be interested in coming on full time? Which is why I say it's the easiest yes I've ever said. So I had seen under the hood. I knew exactly what all we needed to go do, what was working well, where we have some problems, things to go fix. And I love that kind of stuff. I love building and fixing and that sort of thing. So it really fit with what I believe in an organization that I had got to be part of already for a few months, to be able to say, yeah, I'm here and I'm all in. And I think back to, this was over 2 years ago now, how much I've been able to also learn and grow in the position. So when I think about, again, if you go backwards to advocate for yourself, you might think you're not ready for something today, but think about maybe there's somebody in that role today. Think about where they were when they started in that position. They didn't start where they are today. They started somewhere too. It's okay for you to start where you are at that point in time and allow yourself to continue to grow and develop within a role.
Yeah, everybody starts as a beginner somewhere, even if
that's exactly right.
Yeah. And it sounds like you had been open to something that fit a lot of the buckets and somehow were all the circumstances aligned so that you're planting a stake in the ground. I want to be CHRO. It happened. And that was part of you not only advocating, but seeing the possibilities.
Yeah, absolutely. We talk about, and usually it's in the negative situation, right? The concept of a self-fulfilling prophecy. I think we usually think about that as doom and gloom. I used to, way back in my very first corporate job, I had somebody that was always just like this, I'm going to get fired today. I'm going to get fired today. I'm like, well, you are if you keep saying that. And I think this is the opposite. We create a self-fulfilling prophecy, but that's on something that you really want, and figure out what you need to do to go make it real.
Yeah. Put it out there. Figure out what you need to do to make it real and stop the negative self-talk. Talk to yourself. You would talk to somebody else. So, Amanda, this has been amazing. Thank you so much. I'm going to ask you to underline the three biggest lessons that you want somebody to take away. There was so much in this conversation that you said them, but I want you to say them so people can write it down now.
Sure. Sure. Number one, advocate for yourself and be okay with it and give yourself permission to advocate for yourself and don't feel like it's ego or bragging, because it's about how you do it. But stand up for yourself, advocate for yourself. Give yourself permission to take on some crazy project or move into a new role that you thought no one would think you were capable of. So advocate for yourself is one of them. Find a place where you get to be you. Find where you can be truly your authentic self and appreciate those around you and make sure that they know they get to be them too. I will say one thing that's interesting in the HR space is you walk into a room like, oh, HR's here. And I say, nope, it's Amanda. It's me. I'm not defined by my title either. I am me, but find that place where you get to show up as you. This is a little bit of a silly story, but I'm a huge Doc Martin person. I've been wearing Doc Martin since I was, I think, 14 years old. Find a place where you get to wear your Docs and be comfortable showing up in your Docs and not look down upon because you're in your Doc Martens. So find a place that you get to be, you get to be you, and you get to bring your full self to work in all the fun and interesting ways that shows up. And then the other one, I would say, I alluded to this a little bit about this in the advocate, but give yourself permission. Give yourself permission. I went through a a branding workshop one day. This was probably 4 or 5 years ago. And the speaker said, if you could write a book about yourself, what would you call it? And I don't know the exact title, but it would be something around Unclip My Wings. Because for a lot of my life, honestly, even as a younger kid, I think I put rules on myself. And I probably still do. I don't want to admit it, but I probably still do, where I put rules on myself. And it's, why do I do that? So give yourself permission. Give yourself permission to say the thing out loud that you really want to go do or you want to go be, or write it down. Post it up on the poster behind your monitor or whatever you have to do to say, that's what I'm advocating for. So it comes back to advocating as well. But I want to do this, and that's okay.
That's amazing. So one, be you. Are you wearing your Doc Martens right now? I hope you are. If you're not, go put them on. Then when you can be fully you, advocate for you, because the fully you is the only person that really knows the best thing for you in your career, and really the one that's going to step up and make you get where you'd really deserve to go. And you need to give yourself permission for that. Don't clip your wings. Don't hold yourself back. Be 100% unapologetically you as you advocate through your life. So Amanda, this was a wonderful talk. I learned so much, and I'm so excited to be able to tell people where to find you. If people are wanting to learn more, where can they find you?
If you want to learn more about me, you can absolutely find me on LinkedIn. It's the normal LinkedIn/Amanda Tate Smith is where you can find me.
Awesome. I think LinkedIn is a great place to connect with folks who inspire us, who can help us grow, and who we can learn from. So Amanda, thank you so much for spending time with us on Transformation Unfiltered. This is going to air very soon. And folks, if you want to hear more stories like this, please tune into Transformation Unfiltered on your favorite podcast platform. We are always looking to feature people that have the best advice. And usually that advice comes unfiltered, like Amanda shared with us today. Thank you so much, Amanda. You've been such a delight.
Thank you for hanging out with us and listening to Transformation Unfiltered. If you found today's conversation valuable, leave us a 5-star review on your favorite podcast player. It helps us reach more changemakers just like you. Do you know someone who would be great as a guest on our show? Send us a message on LinkedIn or drop us an email. We'd love to hear your recommendation and appreciate the connection. See you next week for another episode featuring an HR leader just like you, who's hitting fast forward on change, impact, and transformation.